Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this broadcast to receive and share the Dharma. I do hope that you have or will be going to the polls today, or that you may have already cast your ballot in an early voting plan. I do hope that you have been well and have managed to find ways to keep comfortable in this humid weather. I marvel that the weather is a constant source of disgruntlement and complaints. No matter how long or how loud the complaints, the weather goes on and prevails according to the conditions within its system. If we wait long enough, it does change to our liking. And yet, we may complain, even knowing that the weather will change without our effort, because we can know about the changing nature of life, but whatever the change is, we may or may not like it. And so it is with much of our lives. While we can intellectually know of and about things, it does not fully parallel our judgments and preferences about all conditions in our life. There is nothing like an election year to raise our alertness to all opinions and conclusions. This is a wonderful time to stop a minute to see how we receive news, how we perceive conversations, gossip from others, and how or what contributes to our opinions and judgments. Going a bit further is to watch how we act and what we say based on our opinions and judgments and the conclusions that we draw. I found myself getting into an armchair debate by myself as I watched. This is really entertainment at its highest, and an exciting time for self-scrutiny and awakening to the self with all its limitations. This year, the speeches are bombastic and emotionally charged, even with reason and rationale. And we too, listening to the messages, are moved with the word choices, the tone, and the accompanying gestures and visual expressions. One night, the sound was turned down, and I sat and watched the convention messages. The messages with silence can be very deafening. Truly, there is an art and a science that deliberately selects what will be seen in a small 42-inch screen from a convention-size arena. What I see is equivalent to a postage stamp of the actual event. Based on that alone, I make judgments and choices. Realizing this, I scare myself with how often I make decisions and come to judgments without getting the big picture when the stakes are so great. It takes time and effort to review the likelihood of all candidates to best serve on their abilities, skill, and virtues. The process in making informed choice is always at work in our lives. Some are easier if based on personal preferences, like vanilla or chocolate, there isn't very much of a consequence. Some are harder when the choices result in consequences beyond ourselves, like new car or used car, you know, with the college tuition looming. Some have no precedence in our lives, like how will mom be cared for as she approaches the end of her life? What are the guideposts for shaping our lives? Each of us has a prioritized list of what we use for making decisions. We Google on our own. We talk to friends who share a similar experience. We seek advice of specialists in respective fields. We may even make charts and lists for comparisons of results. And we ask, if you were in this position, what would you do? And after we have done all that, We bring together as much information as we can gather, for the choice is now mine alone. The result, whether favorable or unfavorable, now I must live with. And yet, having done all that, continue to judge our decisions, and it can be regrettable or satisfying. We rely on our talents and abilities to guide our lives. We rely on the skills and knowledge of others, more learned than us, to inform our life. We rely on even hopes and dreams to create a desired reality. To what degree do we rely on the teachings to inform our lives? We earnestly recite the three treasures as part of a service ritual, but do we do as we say? Do we live these words? Yes, to some degree we do. We do rely on our Sangha, the personal relationships. We do rely on the Dharma to a lesser degree, as the Eightfold Path or the Six Paramitas or virtues are brought into clear focus. We use these guides as moral and civic virtue. We rely on the Buddha even less, because we do not find the truth of the human condition as easy to appreciate and accept. To see the human condition not as an objective reality, as separate from ourselves, but as subjective and personal, specific to me, is not easy to receive. It is as if we cannot help but rely on our reasoning minds before relying on the three treasures. We keep our daily life separate from our religious life as parallel dimensions rather than as continuous intersections of existence. We can do this with ease when we take a view of religion as a tool to make us better persons. It has a useful feature. Such a view can be limiting and finite. We can also view our religion as our identity. It defines us. Such a view can be dynamic and creative. There are other views of what or how our religion and our existence reveal itself, how we awaken to this life.